That was Pulp there. Do you remember the first time? And it's quite staggering to think that Pulp's first John Peel session was way back in 1981, and that was a whole sort of 13 years before that particular track was released, and way before the days of Britpop, and testament to the skills of Mr. John Peel, who we're here to commemorate today. So a very good morning to you. My name is Andrew Parsonage, and you're listening to Bristol Community FM's All Day John Peel broadcast, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. And I'm joined here in the studio by Bristol-based journalist Clive Somerville. Good morning, Clive.
Good morning, Andrew.
How are you doing? All right?
Very well, thank you.
Are you ready for John Peel Day?
I certainly am. I've been looking forward to this a long while, yeah.
You're taking your vitamins, have you?
I certainly have, yeah.
Right. It's you in for the long haul. We're going till one in the morning. Not us two, sort of, personally. I don't think we'd have the stamina, but certainly, there's plenty more to look forward to. And in the next 2 hours, then, we're going to be exploring the legacy of John Peel. And in particular, we've got interviews with local Bristol-based promoters, musicians, fans. We've also got interviews coming up exclusively with Michael Eavis of Glastonbury fame. Michael will be talking about the John Peel Association with Elastonbury, and also BBC Bristol's Trevor Fry, who's also taken that time to speak to us about Peel's influence on broadcasting as a whole. So quite a lot of stuff to look forward to. And Clive, you've been out and about with the roving mic also, haven't you?
I have indeed, yeah. I've managed to capture a few interviews. You heard one of them earlier on DJ Spungold's show, interview with Neil Crossley of Bristol-based band Furlined. And we've got another couple, I believe, coming up in the show.
Excellent stuff. So Clive, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but obviously this is a interactive exercise today. We do want people to take part. We've actually got people coming to the studio throughout the day, but for the next 2 hours, if you'd like to text in and tell us what you're up to, where you are, and any Peel recollections, anecdotes that you may have, we do have a couple of ways that you can get hold of us on text. The number is 0752 880 2347. So
you might like the way you did that.
Shall I repeat that? 0752 880 2347. That'll be a cost of a normal text if you want to get hold of us. Probably worth putting in your subject field that it's for BCFM's John Peel Day. Alternatively, if you've got access to email, then it's studio@bcfm.com. That's bcfm.org.uk. So again, feel free to get hold of us and tell us what you think about the show and about Peel and anything else that's grabbing you. We'll be more than happy to read those out today. Okay, so next up we have an artist who Peel was credited with really sort of breaking back in the late 60s and early 70s. He recorded about six sessions between 67 and 72, and this is David Bowie.
I'm an alligator. I'm a mama, papa, coming for you. I'm a space invader. I'll be a rock and rollin' bitch for you. Keep your mouth shut. Just walk like a big monkey bird. And I'm busting up my brain for the world. Ooh. Keep your electric eye on me, babe. Ooh. With your ray gun smile.
Moon age daydream.
David Bowie there on BCFM's John Peel Day. So I say a very good morning to you, and like I say, I've got Clive next to me in the studio here. And Clive, as we said a few minutes ago before Bowie, you've been out and about with your roving mic, is that right?
I have indeed,
so
yes.
Who have you been speaking to?
Well, I've been speaking to Richard Jones, first of all. Richard is now the managing director of Tangent Books, which is a book publishers, local book publishers, based in Paintworks in Bristol. And he used to be the editor, music editor of the Bristol Evening Post back in the day. So I thought he'd be an interesting person to speak to about what John Peel meant to him. And he was interesting because he came to John Peel, as you'll hear, in a slightly different way to most people.
Okay, so we'll stick that on, and we'll come back to you in a few minutes' time. And we've got a track lined up after this particular interview, but let's hear from Richard now.
Richard, thanks for joining us for John Peel Day. When did the great man first come into your life?
It's been when I was about 16, and strangely, it wasn't the radio show where I first discovered John Peel. I used to write for Sounds Weekly Music Paper, and I discovered him through that, first of all, and then went on to listen to him on the radio.
You mentioned Sounds there. That's an interesting introduction to John Peel. What did you particularly like about that newspaper?
What really drew my attention to him in Sounds was that he was writing about music in a way which other people weren't. He was writing about his home life with his wife, and the music really wasn't what he talked about in any great depth, and it was very peculiar to have that in a music magazine. It was very different. It wasn't trying to be super cool. Obviously there was music involved in it as well, but it was a really good weekly column in which John Peel rambled on about whatever took his fancy.
And as the former music editor of the Bristol Evening Post between the late 80s and early 90s, Richard, did you find John's enthusiasm for new music rubbing off on you in your day job?
Definitely. I mean, it was essential listening, you know, from a professional point of view, because you knew if you listened to John Peel, you were going to hear music which you wouldn't hear elsewhere. New bands, you know, the John Peel sessions. Got a real feel as well for what the bands were like, not just on record or CD, but how they came across as a live band as well. And I think one of the things which was so important, and there's many Bristol bands who were trying to break through at the time, actually got played on the John Peel show. They were it was the only show where a lot of those bands got played, simply because Bristol wasn't very fashionable at the time, so getting any other airplay on Radio 1 or any national radio station was pretty much out of the question. But you also knew that he wouldn't do it just for the sake of it. He'd only play music which he liked.
You mentioned John playing Bristol bands at a time when perhaps other stations weren't doing so. Any that spring to mind?
I particularly remember the Sears. I mean, John Peel, I think, was the first person to play the Sears on national radio. The Sears were a sort of garagey rock band, a fantastic band. They had a little bit of maybe the Wonder stuff, a little bit of the Stone Roses, but very, very much their own band. And, I remember John Peel certainly took a liking to them, and they went on to sign a record deal. Sadly, it didn't work out for them, but, you know, I think they'd be the first to say that John Peel gave him a helping hand, as he has for so many bands. And hearing Napalm Death for the first time certainly stayed with me, so thank you for that, John.
You've mentioned John's love not just of broadcasting but also of writing about music in the Sounds paper, but he also seemed to have a love of the everyday life, presenting the Home Truths programme, for example, on Radio 4 in his later days. Was that something that you listened to? Were you a fan?
Home Truths, I think, gave him that... he was able there to talk around a subject a bit more. I think it's interesting, I don't really remember John Peel as being a great conversationalist on the music shows, and that certainly on Home Truths he was able to explore that side of his broadcasting skills.
What do you most miss about John?
Well, I think the strange thing is that it's not so much missing the show, it was always knowing that John Peel was there, so that even if you weren't listening, knowing that there was a show which gave young bands access to national airplay, would take people into the studio and do the Peel sessions. There was a constant champion for new, innovative, young musicians across a huge range of styles. I think in that sense, he was a great broadcaster.
There we go. So that was Richard Jones there, the former music editor of the Bristol Evening Post. And I've got to say, we're just chatting there during the interview. That, just for the listeners' benefit, that actually wasn't recorded in the church. That was actually your living room. Is that right?
It was, yeah. It sounds rather cavernous, doesn't it?
Well, obviously, you must have a very impressive flat. That's all I'm saying, Clive. That's fantastic stuff. Now, Richard mentioned the band called The Seers during the interview, and we got a tune from lined up. So just tell us about that, Clive.
Well, these are The Seers are one of Richard's favourite bands. Really, he knows much more about it than I do, in fact. But they're a band back in the day that Peel really put on the map. They were pretty famous for a while. They did get a record deal. Sadly, it didn't really work out for them. But yeah, they were a very well respected Bristol band. I guess something, you know, like the Wonder Stuff, as Richard's mentioned, something along those lines, I guess they were. And a fantastic band to listen to, as we'll hear.
That's Bristol band The Seers there. And in the spirit of John Peel, I think one of our fellow broadcasting presenters, Math, who's on later today, worked a bit of a miracle actually to get hold of that onto sort of an MP3 for us. Was that taken from vinyl?
I imagine it was, by the sound of it, yeah. Sounds like it's taken from a demo tape, doesn't it?
Oh, it's just the spirit you want to keep it in. And maybe just underlines how rare it is to get hold of anything of The Seers stuff these days. Is it quite a difficult band to track down, Clive?
Yeah, the best place to go if you want more information about them is, excuse me.
Sip of water then.
I'm going to just take a sip of water now.
Okay, go on. There we go.
Yeah, the best place to track them down is a website called Bristol Archive Records. And they've got a lot of basically post-punk bands in Bristol from 1977 onwards. And The Seers are on there and various other bands as well. So, yeah, and that's a good place to go if you want to track down sort of old Bristol bands and you wonder what's happened to them, wonder where they've gone. Best place to go, really, for that, yeah.
All right, Clive, thanks for that. And we're going to move on to the second of your two interviews now. And this is with a local music venue owner, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yeah. That's Dave McDonald. Now, Dave, although he's far too modest to mention it, and it's not something we covered in the interview, was also lead singer with Bristol band The Fear of Darkness, while we're on the subject of great former Bristol bands. They were a kind of post-punk band started about 1984, I think. And Dave sported then a big sort of fluffy quiff in a sort of friendly badger style, black down one side, white down the other, very rock and roll. And he used to do that. And then he also was the proprietor of a music venue club in Totterdown. in the 90s, and then became, as we know him now, the landlord of the Thunderbolt pub in Totterdown on Bath Road. And it's interesting to hear from him what John Peel's influence on his work has been, both in his personal life and his professional.
Okay, well, you met Dave a few weeks ago, so this is what he had to say.
Well, Dave, here we are in your pub, the Thunderbolt in Totterdown, undoubtedly one of Bristol's best live music venues. In the room behind us, tonight's band King King are doing a sound check. It's almost like a live Peel session. When did you first come across John Peel yourself?
Oh, late 70s, when I was about 12, 13. A lot of my friends listened to John Peel and people like Mike Reed, Richard Skinner and people like that. But John Peel was different because he played stuff that nobody else was playing. He often played very raw stuff, raw demos, and he gave chances to bands that were just started in their garage, you know. It was phenomenal what he did.
And is there any one record that sticks out for you from those early listening days?
One record that sticks out is Class City Rockers. I remember listening to that on his show and thinking, wow, what a record. That's one of my earliest memories of John Peel.
Listening to those sounds that John was playing, Dave, like Classic Rockers that you've mentioned, what did that mean to you?
The thing that it meant to me was that he did play a lot of bands who said something, and what I mean is they had a much more holistic view of life, so he'd play stuff that was quite radical.
Dave, you ran the Coup d'Etat acoustic music venue in the Cumberland pub in Totterdown in the late 90s. It's now the Star and Dove, of course. Tell us about that and whether you think John Peel influenced your music policy at Coup d'Etat in any way.
Coup d'Etat was very much around saying things. It had an art focus. He had lots of wall backdrops depicting politicians who were overturned by coups. The acts there, people like John Parrish from PJ Harvey, he played. Gerard Langley from Blue Aeroplanes got a lot of airplay from John Peel. Count Belazeros, he was originally in a band called Head, and I remember listening to Head on John Peel, you know, in the late 80s.
And when you took over the Thunderbolt here about 3 years ago, Dave, I seem to remember some old Peel favourites making a very welcome appearance.
Absolutely. I mean, Vic Goddard on the Subway Sect, he was a big fan of the Subway Sect. Of course, he did cover that legendary gig in the 100 Club in about 77 with the Clash and the Sex Pistols and Vic Goddard. And Vic was very, very fond of John Peel, knew him quite very well.
And what local bands do you have on here at the Thunderbolt that you think John Peel would have walked through the door himself and listened to?
Johnny Vistick is something very special. John might well have played that. People like Countryside. I think Countryside are an excellent band. Definitely would have been Peel faves, I think. We had Archimedes and Really Really, In Your Honour and Stupid Cupid, all bands under 20, and did a superb night down here. Really great up-and-coming new bands. I think John Peel would have played every one of them.
Well, there's some great up-and-coming bands you've mentioned there. What do you think John's left behind for them? What do you think his legacy is for today's music?
We must move on from John Peel. John Peel's legacy must be, you know, a commitment to new and original music. I mean, for Bristol, we're very lucky because we've got Bristol Introducing, which is Richard Pitt. That's a great show of new music. You know, in lots of ways, very similar to sort of John Peel's show. That's his legacy, the Introducing programme, because they concentrate on new music. And a lot of indie punk stuff, a lot of radical stuff comes through that programme.
Dave, let's finish on a nostalgic note, shall we? We've mentioned Vic Goddard and the Subway Sect, obviously, a little bit earlier. But there are two Peel favourites, one that you've had playing this week, in fact, at the Thunderbolt, and another one you've got lined up for December. So tell us about those two.
Yeah, the Godfathers. He was a big fan of the Godfathers, I believe. And, of course, on October the 7th, we had the Members, Sound of the Suburbs. So that was where I heard the record first, John Peel.
It's John Peel heaven down at the Thunderbolt, isn't it, Dave, really?
John Peel heaven, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can have that one of me, Dave. You can put that on the posters if you like.
All right, mate. Excellent.
Bit of a character there, Dave McDonald from the Thunderbolt on Bath Road.
He certainly is, Andrew, he certainly is.
And we're just going to have a little bit of chat about what Dave had to say in a second, but we're going to play another track now. And this is one of the bands that was mentioned at the last interview, wasn't it? The Members.
It certainly is, yep. The Members are a very big Peel favourite, they are. And yes, I think this is one of the finest records we could choose to play from that, yeah.
this is the sound.
This is the sound of the Sabbath. This is the sound of the Sabbath.
Members, Bristol band, the members, way back from the sort of the late 70s, early 80s, Clive. Wanted to ask you, just going back to Dave's interview then, and he made an interesting point about Peel and, you know, moving on from Peel.
Yeah.
But also we were talking just then during the, whilst the members were playing, about how Richard from the Evening Post was also saying about the, there was a certain comfort factor with Peel also, the fact that he was there. It was like a favourite old piece of furniture that you could always fall back on and rely on, if so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. I think Richard made a great point there. You know, the fact that even if you weren't listening to him, just knowing that Peel was there and was researching all this new music and giving young bands a chance was the thing that mattered. I think it's a bit like today, knowing that if you're watching TV somewhere or another, David Attenborough, should I say, is, you know, is recording a wildlife programme. You're going to be hearing his voice before long. It's very, that sort of comforting thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true actually, because I know from my own personal experience, I if I'm being honest, I wouldn't stay up at nights and listen to shows religiously. But I was aware of him as a disc jockey, and I hate that phrase, wouldn't he, DJ, but you knew he was there and you had that respect for him, and you knew that as long as he was there, the music was in safe hands, so to speak. So I suppose that probably made his loss more keenly felt back in 2004.
I think it did, and the important point to make is that a lot of today's bands wouldn't be here without the bands that made it before them. So they were influenced by bands like the Smiths and so on. And if the Smiths hadn't been promoted by John Peel, then maybe today's bands wouldn't have arisen after them as well. So it has a knock-on effect, a very positive knock-on effect.
And in your opinion, Craig, do you think there's any one DJ or I don't know, journalist who's banging the drum for new music in the way that Peel did, or is it virtually impossible to follow that act?
I think sort of people like Mark Kennedy on XFM, John Kennedy on XFM, I think, yeah, that they probably That's probably one person. And Richard Pitt, that Dave mentioned, who does Introducing, Bristol Introducing. That's a good show as well to listen to. Also, John's son as well, Tom Ravenscroft, is very carrying on the flag making sure the light burns brightly still for new bands.
Yeah, it's quite a mantle to carry, though, isn't it, really? I mean, I just wonder sometimes whether for Tom, whether... It's almost an albatross as well.
Well, yeah, it's a big responsibility, isn't it? But if anyone's going to do it, let's have John Peel's son, hey?
Why not? Well, look, Clive, stick around. Thanks for being out about your roving mic. It was interesting to hear the views of those local people. And we're going to hear some more from the show. But for now, once again, just a reminder, if you're listening to us either on FM here in Bristol or online, wherever you are in the world, then please do feel free to get in touch with us. Once again, that text number, that mouthful of a text number, is 07 or 0752 880 2347. That's 07 582 880 2347, and your text will cost in the UK, it'll mean the cost of a normal text. Alternatively, you can email us studio@bcfm.org.uk, and in both cases just put John Peel Day in your subject field, just so that we can look out for it. We'd love to hear from you wherever you are, what you're doing, and any Peel anecdotes that you may have. So that'd be fantastic. For now though, John Peel Day continues, and we're going to play a little bit of Susie and the Banshees.
Yeah. she really going out with him?
Damned, you rose there. This is John Peel Day 2010 on Bristol Community FM, and you heard there, like I said, The Damned, who recorded five sessions overall with John Peel, the first of which in 1976, which reading on the internet, obviously all my best research is done, apparently it's one of the first ever punk bands or punk records, so that was The Damned there. And also previous to that was Susie and the Banshees, which was Dear Prudence, and that was the Beatles cover, which was from 1980, which was made number 20 in the Festive 50 chart, which was basically Peel. John Peel every year did a sort of top 50 of listener votes as to their favourite tunes, and Dear Prudence made it into the chart that year. They did five sessions between 77 and 86 with the man himself. So a few stats there for you. I've got a few more to come. I feel like a sort of a stato John, a sort of a, I don't know, John Motson of John Peel Day here. But there you go, Armed and Dangerous. Right, we carry on with John Peel Day. And as I said, we wanted to get out and speak to as many people as possible about what John Peel did for them and what kind of influence and any sort of anecdotes that they had. And one person got in touch with us, a guy called Craig, who's based down in South Bristol. And I went to visit Craig last week at his home in Ashton. And we had a chat about the John Peel influence and his anecdotes about meeting Peel, the man in person, back in the 1980s. Okay, so I'm in the kitchen, at the kitchen table, in fact, of Craig Dunsford. And Craig, who lives in Ashton in Bristol. And Craig responded to our advert in The Pigeon, which is a free sheet that gets delivered to the properties of the businesses of South Bristol. And we're looking for people, Bristolians, who had anecdotes about John Peel. And Craig, if I understand correctly, you actually met the great man on, was it more than one occasion?
I met him a couple of times, the most famous being when I saw him at a gig, Half Man, Half Biscuit, and that was back in 1986.
And that was here in Bristol, was it?
Yes, it was, I think it's the Tropic Club, which is was in Stokes Croft. I don't think it exists anymore.
So he was just at the bar minding his own business, and you thought, right, I'm going to go have a chat with him.
Yeah, I went to one of his gigs sometime in the early 80s, and that was up in Clifton, and when he used to do his John Peel road shows, which was quite good, but it wasn't brilliant. But I suppose it's sort of, his music isn't danceable music, so you know, it was sort of like a lot of blokes stood around the side.
I was going to ask if you could describe for us what a John Peel roadshow would look like, because I remember the days of the Radio 1 roadshow, but I imagine the John Peel roadshow was ever so slightly different.
Well, it's a little bit more somber. It's like a village hall, people around the outside talking to each other, but not actually bopping on the dance floor. It's quite strange, but yeah, I think they're very much a similar sort of mirror of what he used to do on his broadcast shows. Obviously, it was all vinyl, wasn't it? No session material.
When was the first time you actually heard John Peel on the radio?
Around 1979-80. I liked Joy Division, and he played quite a lot of new music. He seemed to be able to get all the new Joy Division records as they were coming out, and I think without the internet as we have now, things took a lot more time to get into the public domain.
So his show is normally on quite late into the evening. Obviously, this is the highlight of your day, was it, to sort of just to get that that late night, get the radio on, and just immerse yourself?
Well, I enjoyed listening to it, and it's always a good thing to listen to. Sometimes I used to record it and listen to it. I know that's highly illegal, but I record it because it was between 10 and midnight, and then obviously sometimes listening to it the following evening or whenever I've had time. And I've got some memorable a couple of John Peel tapes which I sometimes still listen to. It's fantastic. So there's another reason why I got involved. I like John Peel. He also was in the Eddie Grundy fan club, him with his producer, the late John Walters. I never saw Peely at any of the Eddie Up meetings, but John Walters, I got to know who produced John Peel in the late 80s. Eddie Grundy is one of the characters in The Archers, and the actor Trevor Harrison used to come along, and he used to drink quite a lot of beer.
Sounds like a good excuse for a night out.
Absolutely, yeah, it was very good, very enjoyable.
And Craig, just intrigued, going back to your the two times that you met John Peel, how did you find him as a person?
Charming. He was, he talked openly. He would answer any questions, and he didn't have an entourage of security guards like a lot of these sort of celebrities do nowadays. He was very open and charming man.
And what do you think his legacy is?
Well, I think his general legacy is how many bands he's helped to bring into the music industry, I think a lot of talented people will make it on their own right if they're persistent enough. I mean, this is my opinion, but I think John Peel brought forward a lot of talent.
Well, Craig, thanks once again for your time, for letting us into your home on this Tuesday evening. Thanks for taking time to speak to BCFM on John Peel Day.
Thank you very much for having me.
See the day.
Where to begin in terms of their connections with John Peel? Again, something I picked out just from doing some research is that they were the year 2000, and Clive's still here. We just talked about Joy Division, weren't we, Clive?
We were, yeah.
And they were actually the Millennium Festive 50. They were number one, and with that particular track, Atmosphere. So a band who, I can't remember how many sessions, I think two sessions they did with Peel, but... certainly in terms of the listeners, a big favourite back in the sort of the late 70s, early 80s.
Very much so, yeah. What a band.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Craig, Ian Ashton, in case you're listening today and you have a chance to sort of tune in during your working day, thank you very much indeed for inviting us into your home last Tuesday night. And it's interesting to hear your anecdotes and great to meet someone who's met Peel in the flesh. It was great to talk to you, so thank you for that. So look, coming up then, we have another hour coming up to the sort of the midday point. We have another hour of some fantastic music, so you'll be hearing the likes of Blur, Radiohead, The Orb, Spiritualized, and The Smiths. We've got all those to cram in yet. And after midday, we'll be speaking to Michael Evis, who allowed us into the hallowed surroundings of Worthy Farm down in Somerset. Are you a Glastonbury man? Have you been to Glastonbury?
Not for many years, and not since it was a very small festival. Obviously, I understand it's got huge now, but no, I haven't been for many years, sadly.
Yeah, it's definitely got a bit bigger since you were there. But no, we went down to Glastonbury a few weeks ago to interview Michael, and so we'll be hearing from Evis about... his recollections of working with John Peel and how Peel came across as a sort of a colleague and his influence on the festival. Also, Michael was able to share, there's a few little tasty hints as to what might be happening in Glastonbury next year, so definitely worth listening out for that. Also coming up in the next hour, we'll be speaking to Trevor Fry, BBC Bristol's Trevor Fry, who has been in the radio industry quite a while now. You could teach me a thing or two, probably. And Trevor will be talking about Peel's influence on radio and broadcasting in general. So again, that's Trevor, and that'll be appearing in the next hour. Like I say, plenty more interviews to come and music as well. Clive, anything more for you on the hour in terms of anything from an interview with Craig? I mean, were you lucky enough to see Peel here in Bristol? Did you miss out?
I wasn't, sadly. No, I didn't manage to catch him then. But that sounds like something to remember, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I just had these visions of the John Peel Roadshow, where they're all standing around in a a pub function room somewhere, all standing around the edge, like, you know, nervous men at a disco. And
it does sound very much like that, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but obviously it worked for some reason, and I just couldn't quite imagine John Peel on the Radio 1 Roadshow. But there you go. So that's what we have coming up for you. Okay, so anyway, we're going to play on with the music now, and we're going to have a little bit of the Jesus and Mary Chain, and this is Just Like Honey.
Dripping.
That was the Jesus Mary Chain there, Just Like Honey. Jesus Mary Chain, who actually did seven sessions with John Peel over their sort of career in the 1980s. We've got a short while to go until the news, and after which we've got Michael Eavis and co lined up. So something to look forward to there. Don't forget, if you want to get hold of us, texting 0752 880 2347 and studio at bcfm.org.uk. If you would like to email us also, there are two ways of getting hold of us. Like I say, don't forget to put John Peel Day in the title and we'll look out for your email and we'll make sure that we'll try and read you out. So tell us where you are, what you're doing, where you're listening to us, any Peel anecdotes that you may have, and we'll be more than happy to read those out. So like I say, do keep in touch. Hope you enjoyed the show so far, and we're about to go to the news.
Listening on BCFM 93.2 FM. It is your voice and it is your choice.
BCFM is the community radio station for Bristol and is here to give everybody